Welcome, everyone, to an exploration of the Mass. This is Ann DeSantis, Executive Director with the St. Raymond Onatus Foundation, joined by my good friend Bill Snyder, founder of Patchwork Heart Ministry. Hi, Bill. It's great to be here for this presentation that we're going to be doing, this four-part series.
And it's wonderful. I'm looking forward to this so very much. So thanks for being with me and sharing the airwaves and talking with our listeners all about the Mass.
That's right. And in this time where the United States and beyond is focusing on the presence and the beauty of the Holy Eucharist, Bill and I decided that we wanted to do something on the Mass. And this is going to be a four-part series. And for this part one, we're going to talk about preparation for Mass. And there's so much to unpack there. I'm just going to list out some of the ideas that we had talked about, that Bill and I talked about, and we will discuss all of those. But some of those ways to prepare for Mass, obviously, is to read the Sunday readings in advance. Another way would be to arrive to Mass early and to reflect and prepare yourself, to pay attention during Mass. That's always a big thing. And to be free from sin, which we're going to really start out the discussion by talking about the confession and making it to confession. And another way is to really take seriously that whole idea of what you do after Mass when the priest says that the Mass is ended and to go forth. And so that is also a very big part of what it means and what we're going to discuss. So why don't we just dig right in, Bill? I know we were going to start out with talking about confession.
Yeah, absolutely. That there's no really better way, right, than to prepare your heart for the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus other than getting to confession. And, you know, the church states that if you are in a state of mortal sin, that you should not receive communion. And therefore, it makes available this sacrament, the sacrament of reconciliation, so that you can prepare your heart, make it a beautiful dwelling place for our Lord. And that's really what the church teaches. The other thing that we talk about when we talk about Mass is we talk about the Eucharist being the high point of that Mass and the word communion, right? When you are not in communion with our Lord, why would you receive Holy Communion, right? It's kind of like, you know, you lying to yourself or lying to God that you are not in communion with Him, but yet you're receiving communion. You're saying, I'm friends with you. I am in communion with you. I want to be a part of you, but I'm not going to give you part of me, this sinful part of me. Well, that's not the way that Jesus operates. He always wants to heal you. He wants to perfect you. He wants to rid you of your sins so that you can be closer to Him and closer to His heart. And I think that that's a big piece of understanding the reason for us to go to confession before we receive Holy Communion. And again, it's a state of mortal sin that we have to be worried about, because the beautiful thing about the Eucharist is that it will wipe us clean from venial sin, that lesser sin. It will wipe that clean. It will take care of that. But again, going to confession and confessing those venial sins even strengthens us to receive Holy Communion and avoid the other sins, keeping them coming. So I think it's a really good place to start. And I think that that's, at least where I kind of reflect on it, you know, hey, if I've broken my bond, my friendship with God, why would I say I'm in communion with Him and go up to receive communion? So that's kind of they're kind of my thoughts on it, would love to hear yours.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. I think it's important that we talk about confession because there might be some people watching this video, whether when we're premiering it in the fall of 2023 or watching it much later, it doesn't matter. People who are away from the Catholic Church, they sometimes ask the question, like, how do I come back to the Catholic Church if I was baptized and I received all of my sacraments, but I've been away for a long time, I haven't been attending Mass, I haven't been going to confession, what is step one? Well, step one is going to confession. And it might sound like it's a hard thing to do, but, you know, I've heard so many stories, and I know this even for myself, for when there was a gap before me when I was in my 20s and came back to confession in my late 20s from a certain amount of years being away from it. And the priests are always very happy when they hear someone that's been away and come back, if it's been more than a few years, 10 years, 20 years, however long that is. So step one really is you want to come back to the Catholic Church. You want to be in communion with the Catholic Church, is to get to confession. And I think the simplest way to do that is just to call your local parish or a parish in your area and ask to make an appointment with a priest. And you can even ask that priest and tell that priest that this is the first time that you've been back in a while. And if you need practice, there's all kinds of apps and different things that you can go online. Very simply, if you go to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website, I'm sure that there's a guide there too. You just key in confession. So I want to read through some of those other things that I mentioned when I first came on this program. One of them was to read the Sunday Mass readings, arriving early for Mass and paying attention, and also being free from sin. And then I also mentioned the go forth, you know, when you leave Mass. Another area that we wanted to talk about also is attire. Like, some people ask the question, well, do I need to be dressed up when I go to Mass? Do I need to wear a suit? Does the woman need to wear a dress or a veil or heels, whatever that is? And then another one is just like practicing the readings that you that are given to you at Mass during the week. So I thought maybe, Bill, why don't we talk about that idea of clothing? Because some people don't go to Mass because they say, you know what, I don't have the dressy clothes, right? I'm coming from one place to another. You know, I'm going to a party right after that, and I don't have to be dressed up for it. I know that there's all kinds of opinions in terms of what the attire should be in preparing for Mass, but let's get your take on it.
Yeah, you know, I think I would like to say that you just dress chastely for Mass. You know, guys, make sure you're wearing a belt, that your pants are not, you know, showing your underwear. At least from my perspective, no like torn shirts showing your chest, you know, button your collar, like, you know, and be presentable. People say during the summertime, if you live in a hot area, do you wear pants? Do you wear shorts? Like, just be presentable. That would be my thing, and dress chastely, right? The most important thing is that you are going to church. That's the most important thing. But dress is also very, very important when it comes to just modesty and dressing chastely. So again, for guys, that, you know, making sure you got a belt on, that you're not showing your underwear, that you have, you know, your collar buttoned up. You don't be showing all your chest hair, anything like that. Like, you know, we practicing Catholics have seen all kinds of things, right? We've seen all kinds of things at Mass, and look, there's different situations too. I remember when Pope Francis came to Philadelphia, right? And it was an outdoor Mass on this September day, like, people are in, you know, sweatshirts and in jeans. So, you know, there are the situation of Mass is going to dictate, you know, what you wear. I mean, maybe sometimes, like, I know my parish has outdoor Masses. They have outdoor Masses for certain occasions. Sometimes they've even celebrated Mass in the parking lot at Miller Park here in our diocese. So again, dress chastely, right? Again, that would be my advice. If you want to wear your Sunday best every Sunday, then no one's going to argue with you. If you want to wear a suit and a tie every single Sunday, there's not a priest, there's not a person in the congregation that is going to argue with that, right? Feel free to dress up and dress to the nines and give the Lord your best. But as Ann said, if you're going to a party afterward and you're worried about, you know, hey, I don't have to get changed and all that, like, you know, just make sure that what you're wearing to that party also, trying to talk about leaving Mass too, you know, is chaste. You should be dressing chaste all the time. You should be dressing modestly all the time, right? And so it's not just for Mass. I think it's a general rule for our Catholic living, you know, throughout our day.
No, 100%. You know, and this is a 4-part series. So we're talking just about preparing for Mass, but we are also going to be talking about the liturgy of the word. We're going to be talking about the liturgy of the Eucharist, and we're also going to spend a whole show talking about the Eucharistic prayers and how special they are and what we can learn from those Eucharistic prayers and the consecration of the host. So I do think that what Bill said about modesty is very important. I mean, he was speaking about some of the male issues. I mean, in terms of being a female, I mean, we need to be modest no matter what. And that would go in terms of, you know, whether something is too low cut, too short, just inappropriate, you know, all of those things. Anything that has like the insignia, like, I don't know, some sneaker company that you like or something. I mean, we want to try to avoid those kinds of things too, to being too casual. But I just think what Bill said, dressing chastely and also, you know, being mindful of the people that you're around too. You don't want to be so distracting to other people with your clothing. And it's not very honoring of the Lord when we dress not chastely. And so Bill made a good point too. If you want to dress up, if you want to wear a suit, if a woman wants to wear the veil or the dress or the heels, you know, go for it, because I don't think you can really be too dressy. I mean, maybe if you were dressed as if you were headed to a wedding or something like that, maybe that you don't need to go quite that far. But talking about attire is a very important topic, and modesty. The next one on the list that we should discuss are the Sunday readings and preparing for Mass by reading those Sunday readings. And you can go to the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops website to find out on a weekly basis. In fact, I subscribe to it, so I get an email every day that tells me the Mass readings for daily Mass and also Sunday Mass. And there's also a Lectio Divina email that goes out every week from the United States Conference of Bishops, where you can sit with your family and pray about the upcoming Mass readings. So, Bill, I didn't know if you had any words of wisdom on that end, because I do think it helps when we reflect about those Mass readings in advance, especially the gospel.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I know that when I read the readings ahead of time for Mass, I always get something more out of it. And again, it's not about Mass isn't about getting more out of it. It's about what you put into it. And so understanding that you're putting in a little bit of work ahead of time to read the readings, you're going to get a deeper understanding of the readings when they're proclaimed to you, right? There's a difference between just reading the Bible and having the Bible and having the God's word proclaimed to you. There's that famous scripture, I think it's in James, where it says, you know, we understand the word of God by hearing. Faith comes through what is heard. And so when we go to Mass, it's actually called a proclamation of the gospel or a proclamation of scripture. It's not just a simple reading, because God is proclaiming the good news to us in Mass. But if we have an understanding, if we cultivate the soil a little bit, right? Like you talk about the parable of the sower, right? Who has good seed, right? And we need to be the soil, right? Like there's good seed, but if it falls on rocky ground or if it falls on the, you know, thorny ground, it is going to get choked out. So if we can cultivate our soil a little bit by reading, you know, scripture ahead of time. And again, there's all these apps, as Ann mentioned, you can go on the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. I use the Truth and Life Bible app, which is a phenomenal Catholic app for reading the daily scripture. And sometimes if there's not a book during Mass and I want to follow along the reading, I will use that app, because it's, you know, totally possible to do that. I mean, you know, if you're not distracted by your smartphone and all the other notifications coming in, that's helpful. But, you know, using these tools to help cultivate the soil of your soul, so that when you do go to Mass and that word is proclaimed to you, you can really listen. And you can listen for those things that stood out to you. And then you can sit there and you can look at how the priest interprets it. Because you know, in your own life, preparing and reflecting on these scriptures, may have a different thought or similar thoughts to what the priest proclaims in his homily, or he teaches in his homily. And that is a wonderful thing because it expands us a little bit. I used to tell teenagers, I used to say, pick three, read it ahead of time and pick three words out. One word from the Old Testament reading, one word from the New Testament reading, and one word from the gospel. And I said, if the priest during his homily doesn't touch on all three of those words, you can walk up to the priest. And I would say that you can walk up to the priest and tell him that his homily was off point. And did I ever have that happen? No, because the kids would select different words, each of them. And yet the priest during his homily would touch in some way on those words. And he would talk about those themes from the Old Testament, the New Testament reading, and the gospel, just by, you know, really listening. So that's my tip. If you can pick three words, you know, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament reading, and one from the gospel, and we don't want to miss the psalm either. Read the psalm too if you can. But pick those words out and then listen intently for how the priest ties that together throughout the course of his homily. And I guarantee you, you will not walk up to the priest after doing that and say, Father, your homily was way off point. You will never do that if you prepare well for the liturgy. So that's just how I kind of tell people, prepare.
No, it's perfect. I mean, I'm learning from you talking about it. You know, I think anytime when we're in a learning situation like this program, this series really is a learning program for all of you and for us too. Because I think we always need to be retaught again and again to help us to continue to follow things as we should and be reintroduced, because it's really the best way to learn is just that constant repetition of what's really important and going over it again to make sure that we understand it, right? The next two points I'm going to talk about is arriving to Mass early and paying attention during Mass. Now, when we're talking about arriving to Mass early, I'm not referring to getting there 20 minutes before Mass starts. That's kind of a lot. And a lot of times the Mass before might still be going on. But the point of it is that we don't want to arrive like, you know, 2 seconds before it starts or get there late. Now, of course, there are circumstances when we are going to be late. Unfortunately, it's happened to me too, whether it has to do with something with traffic or something else. But we always try to make our very best effort to get there as early as we possibly can. I mean, in terms of Mass, it has been said that if you miss the gospel, that you really have missed Mass. So you always want to get there way before the gospel starts, preferably before Mass starts altogether. Now, preparing and being attentive during Mass, I think that what that entails is really active listening, and don't be distracted during the Mass. You know, sit in a place where you will pay attention. If you sit, maybe if you're someone like me, if you sit way in the back, then you might not be able to pay attention as much to the altar and to the priest and the readings. But do what works best for you and your family. You know, if you have little kids, sitting way up in the front may not be the best solution for you. But if you read those Mass readings in advance, then it does help you to pay attention more, I think. The other thing I want to mention in this section of getting there early and paying attention is remembering to pray for the petitions during Mass. You know, during the petitions, the lector or whoever is doing it, whether it's the priest or the deacon, will read off the different petitions. And we sincerely pray for all those people. A lot of times they're sick people in the parish or the intentions of your diocese or archdiocese or the general intentions of, you know, say the Catholic Church in general, the ones that are sent out to parishes to consider for the Mass readings. But just sincerely praying for all of those intentions. And also have masses said. You know, there's nothing better than when you attend a mass for an intention that maybe you made for your own family or a deceased loved one. And that's just a reminder to do that too. It's a way to support your parish as well when you have a mass said, whether it's a daily mass or a Sunday mass for the intentions of someone or a deceased family member or friend. So, Bill, I didn't know if you had anything to say on any of those topics, but those three then again would be arriving early, paying attention, and also the idea of having masses said for other people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you made some really good points, Anne, you know, about arrival. And look, if you've got young kids, you know the challenges of getting to mass. I think that that is always going to be a challenge when you are, you know, raising children, trying to get them to attend mass and, you know, getting there and getting them in the car and, you know, getting them situated and explaining what's going on. I've heard, you know, make sure that you have a good escape route, but don't necessarily always sit all the way in the back because children want to be able to see. And so you can explain to them what's going on. You know, if you're seated way in the back, sometimes they can't see the altar as Anne said, you know, so helping children, if you are, you know, going to mass, hey, this is this is that. I know that I've walked around the church during mass with my son and gone over to see the holy water font and the different statues because he's two. So, you know, you have to sometimes say, okay, we're getting a little bored. Let's take a, you know, walk or whatever. And that's okay, right? Like I'm sure if you're Catholic, you've seen, you know, moms and dads take their children to the back of the church. So make sure you've got an escape route, but don't always sit so far back that they can't see and you can't explain to them, hey, here's the priest elevating the host and all of those things. So that's just one thought on that. You know, and paying attention, it can be incredibly hard if you're a parent, right? Like, I mean, that's one of those things. Again, if you're walking kids around the church and you're trying to juggle all of that, you know, there's something to be said for that, that you might not always be in tune. But again, it goes back to preparing for those readings. And if you're preparing for those readings and you're going into Mass, you know, with an open heart, you're going to be receiving and putting as much into it as you can. So yeah, explaining it to kids, you know, making sure that they're comfortable and that they're able to see is a great thing. And explain to them why we sit, stand, kneel, all of those things. So yeah, and then, you know, when it comes to, you know, giving everything to Mass and participating fully and how do you do that, you know, it's proclaiming those prayers, right, loudly and proudly that you're a Catholic. Like, you know, I remember when I was a teenager, there was a gentleman who was asked to sit in the back of the church by the priest because he said, how can I help? How can I help people become more engaged? And he said, well, look, you're really good at giving these responses and all the Catholics I don't know them sit in the back. So how about you sit next to them? How about you sit around them and you proclaim with that gusto because we can hear it. And I always was taken back by that. I was like, whoa, yeah, that young adult was asked to sit in the back of the church so that he could proclaim, you know, just like Anne said, during the petitions, right, to really put your whole heart into that and, you know, say, you know, we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer, like really proclaiming that, really proclaiming all of the words of the prayers because there are so many. In fact, I was at church on Sunday and I saw a group of people just nothing. Just sitting there, I was like, and I was kind of toward the back as well, and I was sitting there going, "Wow, wait a minute, you know, why aren't these people participating?" And it looks like they've been attending church for years, you know. It looks like they're great Catholics. I mean, you don't want to make any snap judgments, but you know, it looked like they were members of the parish and all that. And they're just sitting there, in the back, not participating. So if you can lend your witness to that, if you can sit in the back, as you know, if you're a single adult, you're there by yourself, and you can, you know, participate fully in a section that maybe people are not participating fully, that's beautiful. So that's what I would say. Really, really participate well. You know, show that you're knowledgeable of the prayers. Show that you're knowledgeable of what is going on, and participate, because that lends people to say, hey, that there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that lady who's really into it. And maybe I want a little bit of that too, just through your personal witness. Give it your all. You know, that's kind of what I would say, Ann.
No, it's great advice, and especially the parental advice too that you gave, because so many people are parents, and how to handle those situations where you have little ones, and how to continue for yourself and for your family to be engaged is very, very important. So it's all part of that discussion of preparing for Mass and being at Mass and doing our best to really prepare our hearts well. And, you know, and another few top things that I thought I could bring up would be, one is really reflect on what you're receiving, the Eucharist. And I mean, we're obviously, this whole series is on the Eucharist, but we can't have this topic of preparing for Mass without talking about preparing your heart for the Eucharist, right? So for the Mass, but also for the Eucharist. And then the idea of going forth when the Mass is ended, because we need to live the readings and live our Catholic faith after we leave. And that's what the Eucharist is helping us to do. We're receiving Him and we're becoming Him for other people. And so there are the reflections that I want to make as far as those ideas of how to prepare for Mass. I'm just going to read through them again for our audience. We started out by talking about reading the Mass readings and getting to confession, those first two topics, arriving to Mass early and working on paying attention during Mass, and also the attire. We talked about what's proper attire and what is not. And then now this idea of going forth when Mass is over. We've received the Eucharist, which is the prime gift that we're receiving when we go to Mass, and that we are living those readings, right? We're taking the lessons that we learned from the liturgy of the word, and we are living it throughout the week. And so there's a whole lot to talk about when we think about preparing to Mass, I think. And our next podcast, when we get together again, we're going to talk about the liturgy of the Eucharist. But we're not quite finished yet, but Bill, I didn't know if you had any words to say on that go forth, because I know that you have reflected on that before with our other Sowing Hope podcast. And that is a very, very important part, isn't it? When the priest or deacon proclaims the Mass is ended, right? And then what happens after that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, when you think about preparing Mass for Mass, you should think about preparing to leave Mass. Mass, it comes from the prayer. The term Mass comes from the prayer. Et a missa est. It is ended, right? Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. The Mass is ended. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. That's where we get the word. So it's all about leaving. I know I've said that many times on other different podcasts, but yes. Mass is all about leaving. There we go. Mass is all about leaving. And so if we are to prepare our hearts for Mass, we should think about how we're going to leave Mass different than the way we came in those doors. And so for me, you know, that's really what it's all about, you know, allowing this to change you so that you can go out and change the world, right? Allowing yourself to come in one state and leave in another. You know, we often talk about the Mass as a foretaste of heaven, right? And so if you think about that the Mass is a foretaste of heaven, you are walking across a threshold when you enter your church and entering into eternity. And for that hour, you're in the throne room of God. And then you walk back out and into the world. How could you walk into the throne room of the heavenly king, right? How could you walk in there and then walk out and be the same person again? I don't see that. When you read the Bible, when you look at the encounters with God, you look at Moses, you look at all of these different people who encountered Jesus along the way, so many were healed and changed and moved to a point where their lives were totally, totally different. And so that's the mentality we should have in preparing for Mass, that I'm going to prepare to enter the throne room of God and walk out a different person each and every Mass. It should be such an encounter with our Lord and our God that when we walk out, we can't help but be different and living those corporal and spiritual works of mercy to a greater degree, right? Like, that's what this is all about. Mass is all about leaving. It's about encountering God and then going out to serve God's people. And so I think it's brilliant to talk about the way we're going to be leaving Mass as a way to prepare for Mass. Because if we really reflect on that, how am I going to be different when I walk out of here? You know, then we're beginning to understand what Mass is all about. You know, that it's not just about coffee and donuts and hanging out with friends and all of that. It's so much more. It's about encountering God, and God wanting to encounter you. I think that's the other really big thing about Mass, is that God gives us the gift of this liturgy. He gives us this gift of Mass so that we have a touch point with Him. He wants you. He wants to encounter you. He wants you to come to Him, right? He wants you to come across that threshold out of the busyness of life into it for at least once a week, right? And like that's all he wants. He wants it once a week. We can go every day. It's a beautiful thing we have in the Catholic Church to have daily Mass. But we can go and encounter Him, and He can come to us. He gives us that touch point to say, hey, you know what? Leave all the craziness of the world. Leave all of that behind for one hour. Step into the heavenly reality, into my throne room, and then go back out and be a changed and different person. And I think that's what this is all about. And that's the reason why we have to prepare well, so that we don't just, you know, go, okay, I'm going again, I'm going again, I'm going again, right?
Right. Because we know that Mass, if we are Catholic, it is an obligation. It's one of those relates of the Church, right? And it's one of the most important things that we need to do to be Catholic, is to attend Mass and to receive the Eucharist every week, at least once a week, right? I mean, obviously we go for holy days of obligation and also for daily Mass if you choose to, but that's not an obligation. I just want to address, if I could, to some of the people who are watching this presentation, who are friends of the St. Raymond Onatus Foundation and also Patchwork Heart Ministry, that might be that family in crisis or individual in crisis. And we want to address you to say that you are invited to come back to the Catholic Church if you've been away, because that happens sometimes, unfortunately. And we do hope, it is our hope for all of you that are watching, whether it's you or some of your loved ones, you can send them this video too, for some of those loved ones that might be away from the Church, is to take that invitation to come back. And if you watch this video from the beginning, we talked about how to get back in, right? It's a simple way, is to meet a priest in confession if you've been away from the Church. And if you're brand new, obviously you can become Catholic, maybe receive the sacraments and become a full member of the Catholic Church. Now, I also found something online. It's a prayer You know, we can say prayers to prepare ourselves for Mass. And this is just one that I found on a website called alatisha.org. The prayer is, O Lord Jesus Christ, I come to the doctor of life, unclean, to the fountain of mercy, blind and radiance of eternal life, and poor and needy to the Lord of heaven and earth. Lord, in your great generosity, heal my sickness. May I receive the bread of angels, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, with purity of faith that will help to bring me to salvation. And you can look that up by going or just Googling before Mass prayer, short preparation for Mass. And there's all kinds of other prayers that you can pray. That's just one.
Yeah.
But we need to prepare our hearts, right? We can prepare our hearts by praying and inviting our family to pray as well. That's a big thing. But never be ashamed to come back, because, you know, no matter what has happened in your life, God is inviting you. The Lord, the Catholic Church, we are inviting you. Yeah. We are the Catholic Church. We are inviting you to come back.
Yeah,
exactly. And we are also inviting you to come to part two of this series too, right, Bill?
Yes. We would love it if you came to part two, folks, of our series here. And don't forget to please subscribe, like, follow both St. Raymond Donatus Foundation and Patchwork Heart Ministry on Facebook, YouTube, all of that stuff. Subscribe to our channels. You know, there's great stuff between our podcasts that we do together, Ann and I do together, Sowing Hope. But, I mean, there's so much other stuff. I mean, Ann has an amazing YouTube channel through the St. Raymond Donatus Foundation. So does Patchwork Heart Ministry. So please subscribe to us, like us, and don't forget about our friends at Fiat Ministry Network either. We want to give them a big shout out and thank you for airing and helping us do what we do, you know, to say yes to Jesus Christ. That's what this is all about. So we really do appreciate you all tuning in and watching with us. And thank you, as always, for being with me here and talking about this great topic of the Mass.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bill, and thank you to everyone.